Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Great to be in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So let's pray. Thank God for the privilege, opportunity that we're afforded today just to be here. Such a beautiful day. Let's pray. Brother Bill Riddle, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, it is good, Lord, to be with you this morning. And Lord, we have so many blessings, Lord, that we don't always give thanks. But Lord, we know that you're the Alpha and the Omega, Father. And Lord, we pray for our nation now, Father, and all the things that's going on in it. For the ones that not only are at our church, but many other churches that have special needs, Father. You already know these petitions, and we just turn them over. We pray that you be with message this morning and make our guests feel welcome, especially now.
Amen.
And Lord, as we get ready to celebrate the independence of our nation this coming week, Father, we are thankful that we are allowed to be in this great nation, Lord, and live. Father, we have so many things to be thankful for. Lead and guide and protect us always, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that you lead and guide us once again. In Son's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to welcome guests of honor here today. First time. Ushers, if you'll come and help me to properly recognize these people. If you're here for the first time, never filled out a guest card, we've got a ballpoint pen presented to you. If you don't want to miss the ones on the balcony, if you will please indicate by the uplifted hand that you're a guest with us today. Please, you will. All right, folks. Glad to have you all. Glad to have a young man there in the balcony. There may be others up there. That's great. Good group of young people up there. Jason, that's wonderful. If you'll fill that card out, this will just give us a record of your attendance today. If you have a prayer request, if you'll just please put that down. Any way we can help you here at Boone's Creek. When the offering plate is passed, if you drop that card in. And we're just so thankful to see everybody here. And I tell you, I've got good news, wonderful news, marvelous news this morning. God is still on his throne.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He hasn't moved one bit.
That's right.
And thank God for obey the king who said that God's law will always trump man's law. I believe that. She was saying her grandpa always said, keep looking at it. And that's what we must do. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He's good. All the time.
God is here.
That's right. All right. Announcements real quick, because I know you're anxiously waiting to hear Brother Asa stand up here and preach the word of God to us as he does so well. Sunday evening, tonight, 6:30, Singspiration. Come if you will do any kind of song. Please come. Be ready, because we're going to have a good time, Tim. We're going to have a good time. This evening, Singspiration. Our folks love this. So come back this evening. And then July the 1st, it's on Wednesday night, coming up. 7 o'clock right here. Wednesday night. I'm going to be taking you through 1 Corinthians, and you will be here. Bring your Bibles. We're going to do just kind of an overview, and I might even tell a little about being in Corinth in 1984 and some things that happened. And you won't think I'm Brian Williams, I know, but this actually happened, what I'll be talking about, because I was in Corinth. And so the book of 1 Corinthians this Wednesday night. Terry Lowe's been doing a tremendous job teaching on prayer and habits of successful people. And so Wednesday night, let's really make the most of it. And then also next Sunday, church-wide celebration. We always do this on the Sunday closest to the 4th of July. And so next Sunday will be the 5th, and we'll have a picnic at 5 p.m. right over here in the Family Life Center, and church will furnish the meat and lemonade for tea and so forth. Members, please bring side dishes. And then looking ahead a little bit farther, if you will, July the 9th, Family Life Center, 6 to 8 p.m. Fundraiser with the WMU. They do a great job with missions, and this money will be used for that. But please note that this is sponsored by WMU. They're going to have knives. You can order them. So see that, please. There'll be snacks and drinks served. Okay. Then July the 11th will be another care day. Men, thank you for your work. You know, somebody that needs an oil change, needs some help like this. We've got people that are ready and do what they can to make you feel like that you're needed and wanted. And you are. We need you and want you and we love you. The trip coming up to see the Knoxville Smokers, that's on the 6th. That's on the 10th. That's the 6th announcement I have. July the 10th, Friday, July the 10th. Trip to see Knoxville Smokers. Any other anything on that?
I just need your money today. You write a check, make it to Boone Creek Baptist Church. I think we've got 17 back there, so and maybe a couple more to add to that. So need your money today.
We went last year, and it was wonderful. And they have a fireworks display at the end. They recognize the churches that's there. And it's a blessing. Thank the Lord for that. Also, Young at Heart, July the 12th. That's looking ahead. But they're going to Jonesboro Repertory Theater, USO show. Leave here after church at 12:30. And we'll return around 4:30. Program starts at 2 o'clock. Now, that's a lot of announcements. Do you have any others? What I'll leave out. That all? Okay. Repent of temptation. If you don't know our music director.
We sang this song quite a bit. The words of this song, one of my favorite songs. Some of my favorite words. No man can pluck us out of the hand of Christ. No matter what happens, constitutionally, Supreme Court, what, in this great country, in our world, like Ken said, God's on the throne. And the love of Christ and his sacrifice is going to carry us home. And that's all that matters. Renee Lowe's going to sing the solo.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love!
In Christ. first cry, the final breath.
Jesus
commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand.
Right.
Till he returns or calls me home. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Amen.
Page 411 in your hymn book, let's be off toward the end. And we can see this song so great as what we've just heard. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Page 411 in your hymn book.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to
trust in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'd like for you to repeat after me these words. I will bless the Lord at all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt His name together.
And let us exalt His name together.
Amen. Amen. Let the name of God lead us in prayer.
Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, knowing that without You we're nothing.
That's right.
We can't even worship You without Your Holy Spirit dealing with our hearts and causing us to be honest with ourselves. God, I pray You do a work in Boone's Creek Baptist Church this morning. Mm. You said in Your word for us to ask.
Yes.
And we shall receive.
It's true.
But Lord, we need to ask for specific things. Mm. My heart's desire this morning for my whole church is for an outpouring of God's Holy Ghost.
God.
And that people will be stirred, including myself, that we'll worship Him, that we'll bow and let Him know that we know He is perfect and that He's holy.
Amen.
And that He wants us to be the same way. And the only way that we can do that is when we are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray You'll pour Your Spirit out upon our congregation this morning and teach us the things, the desires of our heart, that we'll name them and call them out to You. And You said You'd answer, and I believe it.
That's right.
And I pray this morning, Lord, You'll fill Brother Asa with the Holy Ghost of God.
Maybe.
And that He'll preach the truth.
Yes, granted.
The truth is what we need to stand for in our nation today. We've gone back on You. We've turned our back on a holy God. Mm. And I pray, Lord, this morning that You'll come in a mighty way and just saturate our hearts with Your precious Holy Spirit. And we'll thank You and praise You and honor You for all that You do. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes I'll say the request line's open, what do you want to hear? How about shut up? I don't know that. We can't let Satan rob us.
That's right.
Of our victory. In light of Charleston, South Carolina, evil is never going to trump good. It's not going to happen. We sung about this morning, it's already been won. Hey, if it's my time, it's my time. I'm ready to go. Think about Aurora, Colorado. Maybe a story you don't know there. Something good out of something so tragic. At midnight, when people went to see a movie, there were three young couples, boyfriend and girlfriend. They weren't man and wife. They went to see that movie. When someone who had lost all sense of right and wrong entered and began to fire a weapon. In all three cases of what was found in the aftermath, those three young couples, young men, young women, they found those three couples with the man with his arms draped over and took the bullets for the girl. Wasn't even his wife, hadn't become married yet. All three incidents, the girl survived. The men lost their lives. I like to think that in the heat of the moment, I would do that. That was a great form of chivalry. A man, wasn't it? Like I said, it wasn't his wife. But I think, and my prayer is that in my daily walk, that I can just show love.
Bless.
God's love.
Bless.
Doesn't be in epic proportions where I surround someone and take a bullet for them. And who knows, it may just be by standing up and saying, I want to praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And if that's it, so be it. Because I won't be the first, and I won't be the last. And that's my question. Are we willing to lay down our life just for the daily things? The things that we seem, sometimes we take for granted and seem mundane, and are truly not. And I'll leave you with this morning. Think about 1 John chapter 3. Greater love hath no man.
Man.
That's you lay right. Down his life.
Yes.
And my Lord did that for me.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm sure in a lot of churches around our country today, there are going to be a lot of messages about a lot of different topics. And a lot of them are going to be around the same topic. I told God this week, you're not going to let anything hijack the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything that would get our focus off of Jesus and on what's going on in this world. We're all aware of that. We've already been down that road. We've prayed about it. We've talked to God about it. We've prayed with each other. Our church has taken action about things. But today, I just want to share the gospel with Boone's Creek Baptist Church. It's the gospel that'll take care of us. It's the gospel that'll make any difference in the world.
Amen.
You know, Brother Tim said, it's been a rough week. I heard a lot of people say, yeah, amen. We're all humans. We all have bad weeks. You know what makes those weeks better? We can come in here, love each other,
right,
take care of each other, build each other up, give a hug. I even almost got down on my hands and knees this morning and with Miss Strauss right there, and I said, would you mind if I kiss your hand? And the lady mine said, we might be jealous if I do, if you do that. I said, well, my wife probably will too, better not do that. But you know what? I love coming in here and hearing songs, but I also like coming in here and people be honest that, hey, we've had a bad week this week. Because we all go through that. We all have bad weeks. We all do things we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't do, act in ways we shouldn't act. But we have a God that is so merciful.
Right.
That is so loving.
Amen.
So kind. So gentle. There are times Gracie's crying in the back seat of the journey as we're on a journey, and I just, stop crying. Stop it. Our God is not that way with us. Thank God. Sometimes I'm probably in the back seat, in my little car seat. God's driving the car. I probably deserve to pull over on the side of the road and get worn to smithereens. But there are also times he just looks back in the mirror at me and says, it'll be okay. I'm here to tell you on behalf of God, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
We may go up and we may go down, but God will always stay up.
Right.
We may swerve to the left, we may swerve to the right, but you can always count on finding Jesus right there in the middle still. And this morning, the word kept coming in my mind, come. Thought, why in the world come? And I'll just be honest with you, this message almost didn't get preached this morning. But God wants the message shared. Come. There's a cry going across this world that says, come. Not a lot of people are coming. There's a lot of people going the other way. But still the call is going out at this church, at the church down the road, at the church across the street. And let me also say, Calvary Church is not our enemy down the road. Boone's Creek Free Will Baptist Church, they're not our enemy. Boone Trail Baptist Church, that's not our enemy. Central Baptist Church, not our enemy. Boone's Creek United Methodist Church, not our enemy. The Pentecostal Church in town, United in Praise, I work with the pastor's wife. They're on our side. They're on the side of the Lord. And if we show love to anybody, let's show love to them. These people in this church right here, they're not your enemy. They're on the same team as you are. Team Jesus. We are on the winning side.
Right.
And we're not wrestling against each other. We're not even wrestling against the men out there. We're wrestling something much bigger. And if we don't go in the name of the Lord, we'll devour each other. So I challenge you to go in the name of Jesus this week. Conquering every foe in the name of Jesus. Winning every battle in the name of the Lord. And compel men and women, boys and girls, to come to Jesus, to get to know Him, to compel them to come into the house of the Lord. Because time's short. And if you would, turn your Bibles to the Revelation, chapter 22. We're going to be looking at verse 17 closely.
I'm going to give you a little synopsis of Revelation 22. The first few verses, the first 16 verses, and the first 5 verses, the Revelator's hearing this call, a beautiful description about a beautiful place where there's the throne of God, and there's the Son, the Lamb, and there's a river of life-giving water, the river of life flowing out of God, out of heaven. I'm glad to say I've never seen the river of life, but I'm glad that I have experienced the benefits of the river of life that flows out of God.
Right.
And then also we see that there's the tree of life, and there's 12 manners of fruit on either side of this river. And it's for the healing of the nations. Our nations need healing.
Yeah, that's right.
The gospel needs to go out and be preached so that people would be converted and changed. People would come to know Jesus. And they too would be able to know about the tree of life and the river of life. Verse 7. There's a warning here for some. Joy for others. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
There's the first come in this chapter. Jesus Christ is coming. Behold, I come. And then in verse 11 and 12, there's an encouragement and also sort of a write-off for the world. Verse 11 says, he that is unjust, let him just be unjust still. If a man or a woman or a boy or a girl will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they choose just to go on in their sin, let them go. Who said that? Our Lord said that. Not to argue. We're not to cause this big river Marora in the middle of Johnson City. We share the gospel in love. If people refuse it, we move on to the next people. And we share the good news that Jesus Christ saves sinners.
Amen.
And it says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Here's an encouragement for you. Keep on keeping on is what this is saying. Jesus Christ is coming. The world may stay the world, but you need to stay as the bride in the body of Christ Jesus. You need to stay faithful to Him and keep your hand in His hand and be kept by His wonderful grace, proclaiming victory over your life, proclaiming victory from day to day, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone you meet.
Amen.
Keep going. Let the unrighteous stay. There are people that will not hear the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
Don't be discouraged. There are people you can't love the way that you want to love them. You still love them in your heart, but you can't show them. They'll reject it. They'll devour you. They'll eat you alive.
That's right.
But you just keep on loving anyway.
Yeah. Right.
There are messages that people really don't want to hear from the Bible. Preachers, keep preaching the message. Keep going. No matter if the world stays unjust, just keep going, because the promise in verse 7 is still true. I'm coming.
Amen.
Then verse 15 says, "When I'm coming, I'm going to take those that are just, that are righteous." How are we just and righteous? We accept the Lord and His grace. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ to save us from all of our sin. Not any good works that we've done, but simply by the wonderful grace of God we've been saved. But standing outside, there's going to be dogs. What kind of dogs, you may ask? Are there going to be Dalmatians and Labradoodles and all those kinds of things? What kind of dogs? Sorcerers. Whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. All these people in this world, they don't realize how much we love them, how much we care about them. I have family members share the gospel in love. Put a tank of gas in their car and just put up and say, "I'm still praying for you. Still want to see you saved." They just go on their way. They don't realize that one day Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
And what we're trying to share is their only way out through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 17. Here's where I want to focus. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life for $25.99. Somebody tell me how much it costs.
Free.
Free. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Go back up to the beginning part of this verse, and let him that heareth say, come. The Spirit already says come. The Spirit's already at work in the lives of individuals out there. But also it says, and let him that actually heareth it say come. Those of us that have already came to the Lord for salvation, we should not just leave it up to the Spirit to go out and compel people to come in, but we should also follow up the Spirit's workings with our own workings, the gospel, and tell them to come right to Jesus.
Amen.
Compel them to come in that my Father's house may be filled. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how I've been doing evangelism in the past. Yes, my name is Ace Adams. I'm from Bibbs Creek Baptist Church. I'm an associate pastor at Patrick's King Tiger. We'd like to invite you to church. But if you don't want to, that's okay. We're not going to force you to do anything. And, you know, we're really not mean over there. We're pretty nice. Sometimes people are mean, but most of the time they're nice. And I'm just, well, sometimes, have a good day. That's how we share the gospel. 15. When really it's not even about Boone Street Baptist Church. It's not about me being an associate pastor. It's not about Kim being a pastor. It's not about the deacon. It's not about the piano player. It's about compelling men and women, not with games, not with a show, not with buzzers and loud lots and sounds, but with the gospel.
Right.
That, hey, the world's coming to an end. It's going to catch on fire.
That's right.
There's one who can save your soul. What do I got to do? You got to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died and rose on the third day, that He arose to give eternal life. And if you call on His name and believe in your heart, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Period. And if they say, I don't like the sound of that, say, good luck finding another way.
Amen.
It's the only way.
Right.
It's the truth. It's life-giving. There's no other way. Who can come? Now, this is a good debate in 2015. Who can come? Who will come? Who won't come? None of my business. It doesn't say here, pick and choose who you tell. It says, tell them to come and let him that is athirst come. I don't know if Tim is thirsty enough to receive salvation. It's my job just to tell him, Jesus died for sins. Jesus arose again and He loves you. And then it's my part to love Him and to show Him that love. But he has to be the one to be thirsty enough to come to Jesus. Do you know why a lot of people today do not come to Jesus? Because they don't believe they're thirsty. They believe that they've got everything that they need in life. I've got a job. I've got one of those. Got a bank account. I've got one of those. A car. Got two of them. Even got a little girl and a little baby dog. And we're happy. What do I need? I'm not thirsty. Everything's fine. Those people will never come to Jesus until the Holy Spirit convicts them that they indeed do need more water than they've ever had before.
Right.
And it says, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, I don't know if you've ever seen this or not before, but Brother Dr. Akins, Wade Akins, a missionary, he goes out to Brazil. And he's standing there on the street corners, and it's about midnight. He's out there with all the rowdy young people. And I'll tell you a little side note on that. We spent some time with family yesterday and had some family issues. Pray for our family. That's all I'm going to say about that. But later in the evening, I put on my pajamas, and I sat down in my recliner, and I was like, ugh. And Dad said, you're young. You're the only 30-year-old I've ever seen in my life that comes in on a Saturday night, puts on his pajamas, and sits down and watches black and white TV. Old spirit. I got an old spirit. But he's out there with those young people down there in Brazil. And those people, I mean, they are, some of them are drunk. Some of them are half nude. Some of them have a lot of money, a good job. They're educated people. Good part of maybe Rio, one of those other towns. They've had a night on the town. They're having a good time. Some of them say, why in the world would he go out there and preach the gospel late at night to a bunch of hoodlums? Because he doesn't know who's thirsty or not. That's why.
Right.
There may be more thirsty people out there in downtown Johnson City right now than there are sitting in this church. We don't know. We're just compelled, we're just commanded to go preach the gospel to all creatures.
Amen.
Tell people about the good news that Jesus saved. If the Holy Spirit's working on the other end and those people are thirsty, then they'll receive the good news and they'll become my brother or sister in Christ instantly. Right. All we're to tell them is, come if you're thirsty. Come if you will. And if you won't, that's up to you as well. Let me tell you, none of us would have come. Let me go back up to Brazil a little bit. He's seen a lot more people being saved there than we're seeing being saved here. They're thirsty. They're not used to the gospel. They're used to religion. We're going the other way. We're so used to the gospel that now we turn to religion. We're going completely backwards. But just share the gospel with all creatures. Tell them to come. Come. Come and drink freely. Whosoever will, come. If you won't, how about tomorrow? How about the next day? Pray for them. Compel them to continue. Please come. Come and accept Jesus. The Bible says, we all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Anybody do not know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. So who should we compel to come? Whosoever will stand there and listen to you. God may be at work on the other end, and that may be one more added to the kingdom of God. We can't gear our message, we can't gear the program, we can't gear it to this or to that. We're called to just share the gospel and tell them to come, come, come. Then the Bible also tells in Romans 10:13 that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that leave anybody out? Well, how about if so-and-so calls on the name of the Lord? He'll save them. How about if my worst enemy calls on the name of the Lord? Thank God, He'll save them. And if you don't want him to be saved, you probably need to be saved as well. It's time that we quit worrying about what... Listen. We spend so much time worrying about what's going on in our country. I'm against it. I'll tell you, if there's something, anybody, I fight this stuff tooth and nail on my knees. Praying to God, God have mercy. Ken and I were on the front lines. We better be praying. But I better spend my time doing what God called me to do, preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Reading through history, all through church history, there's been situations like we're going through now, and I'm not talking about just the decision, I'm talking about just where we're at today, where the church is not everybody's favorite institution, and you can't just go out and just preach and 5,000 people get saved. This has happened throughout church history. Do you know what the God-called ministers and the God-called deacons and the God-called church members did? They stood the more firm and proclaimed the gospel. And some of the greatest Bible historians said that if you want to see the church grow, throw in a little persecution. We believe the exact opposite is going to happen. Oh, churches are going to fall apart. We're all going to just run and scatter everywhere. Persecution breeds the church because God's Spirit has been working that way throughout the ages. Can't explain it? Then again, I can't explain the fullness of God. But God works how He will. In the Bible, there's two stories about Jesus saying, come. The first one is Jesus teaching, and He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This is where Tim mentioned about having a rough week. How many of you, and let's just show some hands and be honest with each other, we're family. How many of you have had a rough week, a rough month, a rough year? Do you know where we can go when we have a rough time? Is it the first place we usually go? Oh no, I have a favorite place to go. Sometimes it's not Jesus. And I look back and say, boy, I wish I had just started there. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you so much you won't be able to bear. Church life will make you feel worse than when you came in. Is that what Jesus said?
No.
Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's light. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. So many times we try to carry things ourselves. and we don't come to Jesus. We don't draw nigh to God and let Him draw nigh to us. We don't lay our burdens and our troubles and our issues and all of our problems at His feet. I know some of you struggle financially. Some of you struggle physically. Some emotionally. Some spiritually. Some of you just struggle across the board. Just like the Spirit says, come for those seeking salvation, those desiring God, He also says, come to those who are struggling with whatever you're struggling with. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Say, well, what's that like? Those of you that raised your hand, perhaps you're a Christian, and it seems like every time you take two steps forward, you meet an enemy along the way, he knocks you three steps back. And there's times when you just say, had enough of this, I'm not doing it anymore. But then the Holy Spirit will send somebody there to you right at the right moment, put an arm around you and say, love you, praying for you, I'll help you. Or sometimes there's not even anybody around, but you just picture Jesus Himself coming, picking you up and sending you on your way. Amen. We can come to Jesus with all of our problems, all of our situations, and He'll give us rest.
Amen.
There was a guy the other day, he wanted to talk about the law, and I thought, okay, we'll talk about the law a little bit. They didn't really want to go there with him because I knew where we were going. And he came up and he thought he was going to astound me with it. He said, Saturday is the day of rest. And I said, okay. And he said, what do you say about that? I said, I've got a better one for you. The Bible says that Jesus is our rest. He's our day of rest. And it's not a day of the week. It's every day of our lives since we've come to know Him as our Savior. We rest in Him.
Amen.
He is our Sabbath. He is our perfect peace. He's our...
Yes.
If there's sometimes Saturday can't get here soon enough, we'd be in trouble. Sunday can't get here soon enough, we would be in trouble. Our day of rest comes to us and we can go to Him any day of the week.
Yeah, that's right.
And find peace. Then this next story. Jesus and the woman at the well. Whew, this lady, she had some major problems. Didn't she? Oh, she is such a sinner. She was just as sinful as you and just as sinful as me. You know what I like about God? He uses sinners. Some of the greatest preachers of all times, you say, let's talk about their life history there for a few minutes. They were sinners in the 10th degree. They liked women. They liked drugs. They liked alcohol. They liked other people's money. And they hated the church. But they heard the call one day, come to me, all you lay there heavy. And they run to Jesus. Instantaneously, they are justified in the sight of God. Sanctified through His Spirit. Drawn closer to Him. They'll announce their call to preach, and then God can use them. And this lady right here that we're getting ready to talk about, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, like it or not, she became an evangelist. I don't know. I doubt she went out and got ordained. I doubt that. But she was an evangelist. Jesus told her everything that she had ever done wrong, and instead of getting mad like most of us would do, she said, oh, how did you know that? He said, ma'am, if you knew who I was, you'd come to me, come. And you'd say, give me a drink of water. And you would never thirst again. I don't think she really understood exactly what He was saying or what she was doing, but I believe the Holy Spirit worked in her to where her eyes were opened. And she said, where do I get this water? You don't even have anything to draw with. He said, if you believe in Me and He that sent Me, you won't have to come to this well because the river of life, a deep well, will come bubbling up from inside of you. That, you know what that lady did when she left that place? There's an old spiritual song that says she went running. She must have ran 40 miles. That's a long song, and all it says is running. Down to the city. And she told them all that He had told unto her. And people were born again. God can use you. God can use you to expand His kingdom. God can use you to help this church, another church, a missionary, a chaplain, someone who bakes cookies and takes it to preachers' homes on Sunday evening and makes them happy. Amen? I'm looking at Miss Peggy back there. She had her head down. I said, I've been waiting to try one of her cakes. So maybe, just maybe, you pray real hard. Tonight after church, I'll be sitting in my recliner, and I'll be sitting there in my pajamas watching black and white TV, the doorbell ring, and I'll have the biggest cake you've ever seen. But you know, that's a ministry. And it helps open people's eyes to see that they can come, that, you know what, even though I am a sinner, God loves me.
Right.
And that God can speak to me. I'll never forget, at the age of 9 years old, I was sitting right there where Cheryl McGuire said, raise your hand, stand up right there. Calling people out this morning. Call me Bud Pate. Stand right there. Wave everybody. I was sitting right there one Sunday morning in my home church down in Newport. Preacher was saying something about this Jesus. Oh, Jesus loved him. He died for you. 9 years old, that's the first message I really ever heard. And I didn't hear all of it. But I heard that part about Jesus can save you. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can give you eternal life. Come to Him. Call on His name. Well, I thought, well, how do I go to Jesus? I listened a little bit more. Realized I couldn't go up to Him, as the book of Romans says. We can't ever go up to Him. He came down to us.
That's right.
As a 9-year-old boy, I wasn't a theologian. Didn't understand church doctrine. But I believed at that moment that there was a God in heaven that loved me enough to become man. Hang on a cross. Bleed out. Be placed in a borrowed tomb, raised again on the third day. And then I found out that there was a package at the end of that where He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where I am, everybody, awesome. I believe that gospel at that day. So you know what I've been telling everybody ever since? Come on. Come on. Follow Jesus. Come to Jesus. I've had some friends, let me tell you something, as a teenager, it was really awkward. We'd go to a friend's house, we'd have a big get-together, you know, and then at night time, they'd want to be doing stuff. I'd say, okay, how about if I read you a Bible story? Now you can imagine some Bible story. God's weird, don't invite him back. But there was one boy, we had never been friends before. Sat down with him at his house. All the other guys were doing other stuff. We were at his house. We sat down and read the Bible. We read John 3:16. We sang John 3:16. We had a little talk near the thing. Boy, he's a crier. He's still a crier. He just started crying. I was like, now I don't know what to do. I've not been trained yet. What to do with this? But him and his mama, they got in church. They went some. Dad never did. Still doesn't. But he got in church. And we became best friends all the way through school. We got in high school. A little further along high school, towards the end of high school, we both did stuff that teenage guys do that you think, oh God, help us. I came up to ETSU. He went down to Mars Hill. We didn't talk much then after that. God was dealing with me to preach the gospel, which I had already been doing. Already been. Look, sometimes we're waiting on a call, but we're commanded to go no matter what. Tell people, come to Jesus and be saved. It wasn't too long after that, Suzanne and I, we were down at my uncle's funeral down there, and he was there, and I thought, oh, okay, this is weird. You dated my cousin, but you didn't get married. Why are you here at his funeral? Didn't really know him that well. He came up to me. He's about that tall, about that big, picked me up off the ground. He said, guess what I'm doing? I don't know. What are you doing? He said, I'm one of the pastors now at Lincoln Avenue Baptist Church. My mind rolled back to that night when we were sitting there in the floor and doing all that crazy stuff kids do, taking 5 seconds over the Bible and saying, That's a big church. That auditorium seats about 1,000 people down there, and they do a lot of work. He leads the worship down there and everything. And was it me? No, it's not me. But it just shows you. When you tell people to come, sometimes they're going to listen.
That's right.
Think about all those opportunities that we miss by not telling people to come. By the time we don't take a few minutes to sit down and say, Jesus loves you. You can drink of the water of life free. Now today there may be somebody in your life, God forbid, they're the chiefest of all sinners on the face of the earth. You know those kind of people. If you knew me, that's how I felt about myself. But I know that we all know people that nobody else we want to talk to, that think there's no use to try. Just try one more time. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And this morning, maybe you're here. The first part of the message was for you. Maybe you've never come to the river of life. Maybe you've never come to the deepest well that you could ever know. Maybe you've never known Jesus as Savior. I want to ask the musicians to come. I want to ask everyone to stand. Can you hear what the Spirit's saying this morning? He's saying, come. Whoever's thirsty, come. Whoever needs a drink, come. But he's also saying, maybe you've already drank, but maybe you just need to talk with Jesus. And you need your burdens lightened. You can come. And that doesn't have to mean coming up here. I like when people comes up here because then that way we can pray with you and pray for you. But if you're in your seat and you want to come to Jesus right there, you can have a come to Jesus up there, down here, wherever you are. Maybe you're here today and you just say, my burdens are heavy. I need to lighten them up. Come as they say.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this, dear God. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.